I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
This is the story of my family. We're the Duggars. That's me. I'm Michelle. There's Jim Bob, my wonderful husband, and our children. Josh is our oldest. He married Anna, and they had our first grandchildren, Mackenzie, Michael, and Marcus. Then there's Jana, John David, Jill, she married Derek, Jessa, Ginger, Joseph, Josiah, Joanna, Jedediah, Jeremiah, Jason, James, Justin, Jackson, Johanna, Jennifer, Jordan, and our youngest daughter, Josie. That's a grand total of 19, and I delivered every one of them.
Of course, with this many kids, we do things a little differently than most families. It isn't always easy, but somehow we make it all work.
That's the beginning of a now famous TLC program called 19 Kids. And counting all the way down. The first one, Josh, is in the news lately. The family has gone from being famous, quaint, to somewhat notorious because of a sexual abuse allegation and admissions, sexual abuse tragedy in the Duggar family. We're going to find out about it, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the lessons that can be learned from this with Holly Shear on this Friday afternoon, May the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Holly Shear is a pastor's wife, a mother of four children in Burns, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Takeaways from the Duggar Family Sex Abuse Tragedy. Holly, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
You watched the show off and on for years. What was your initial reaction to the story of the sexual abuse on the part of the elder son of the Duggar family?
You know, I was really disappointed and upset for the whole family, and I was really shocked that this had happened.
Now, if, for those who don't know them, who are the Duggars?
Sure. They are a TV family out of Arkansas, and they are most notably famous for having 19 children, all of them natural children of both parents.
What exactly happened? I mean, how would you summarize the story that has now made them from famous to kind of infamous?
Sure. A couple years before they started having specials on the TLC, their oldest son, Josh, molested five young girls, four of whom were his sisters. And then the parents reacted by initially covering it up, and they sent him to a family friend to do work building houses. And they only brought it to the police after they were supposed to go on the Oprah Winfrey show, and she actually called Child Protective Services. And by then, the statute of limitations had run out, and he was unable to be charged.
So there is a context here that may or may not be relevant, but it does need to be discussed, and that is they are a devoutly religious family, not simply devoutly Christian. They are devotees of Bill Gothard's Training Institute. Can you tell us what we should know about that?
Sure. The first thing to note is that Gothard himself has been accused of sexually harassing more than 30 young ladies, most of them actually from homeschooled families, just like the Duggars. This is an institute that puts out training seminars on marriage, on child rearing, and then they have a whole line of homeschool curricula and conferences that happen across the country. They also have camps where families can send children if they are undergoing like behavioral issues or just not obeying their parents well.
It is, to kind of put a simple label on it, it's a deeply legalistic system, a Gothard system, isn't it?
It is a very, very legalistic system, and it's built around kind of a Christianity that's very different than we recognize it as Lutherans, we have such an emphasis on, you know, where there's law, there's also gospel being properly applied. And for them, forgiveness is really something more you earn. And you'll notice with the situation with the Duggars, everybody was pressured very quickly to immediately forgive, whether there was actual repentance and actually whether the behavior in question had stopped or not.
So what are the takeaways? You talk first about abuse prevention, simple everyday steps parents can take to keep their kids safe from this kind of stuff. How would you describe it?
Sure. I think it's awful to think about having to even have these conversations with our kids. None of us want to think that anything like this could ever happen to our children, but the reality is that it could. And so what we need to do is, you know, be proactive with your kids, set boundaries on what's appropriate, on, you know, their body is their body. And if somebody wants to do something with them, that, you know, they need to be able to talk to mom and dad and feel comfortable with that. I think it's important to talk about the difference between like a secret versus a surprise. Every family, you know, has secret birthday parties or, you know, trips or things that we keep. But if it's something that is negative or hurtful, it can really set the stage for something like this to occur.
This could happen to anyone, right?
Yeah, this is not something that only happens in famous families or only in fundamental Christian families or secular families. It unfortunately is really across the board.
What is the real help when this does tragically occur? What's the real help that provides healing for something like this?
Well, I think as Christians, the real help for us is, you know, going to church and being forgiven and remembering that, you know, Christ died for this too.
Now, in a practical sense, it is often something that is passed along, not genetically, obviously, but in terms of family behaviors, the deep kind of deep-rooted dysfunction of abusive families often produce kids who abuse, like Josh Duggar. That's maybe not the case here, but what would you say in that vein?
This is absolutely something that can be a generational issue where the unhealthy dynamic, as you said, spreads to the next generation. And I would really hope that the Duggar family, whether this is the first instance of it occurring or if this is something that is a pattern, I hope that they are all receiving, you know, help so it doesn't continue on to the next generation.
One of the things that I think was that you mentioned a little bit earlier in passing was the pressure to forgive and to kind of put this behind them, maybe even shaming victims. What are your concerns there, Holly?
My concern there is ATI, Bill Gothard's Institute, actually has published their materials that they use to counsel people in these situations, and it includes things like considering whether you were responsible for the abuse, whether, you know, your clothing or your behavior led them on. And it's important to note that in situations like this, some of the victims of this were very, very young children. And when you apply, you know, a measure of blame to something that was totally not asked for, totally not their fault, it can make it incredibly hard for them to heal.
You finally say that the media in this case has itself behaved shamefully. What exactly do you mean by that?
I think it's absolutely reprehensible that this came out in the way it did. Josh Duggar was 14 years old when this happened. He was never convicted of any crime. We have, you know, the police report was released under Freedom of Information Act, and the information was not censored enough to protect his identity as a minor, and it definitely was not censored enough to protect the identities of, you know, the victims in this who were very, very young children and who did nothing wrong.
Finally, why do you emphasize the need for forgiveness, but you say forgiveness where there is repentance? Why do you emphasize that so much?
I think that's really important because repentance is something that benefits everybody in this situation. You know, Josh Duggar called this a mistake, and it absolutely was a mistake, but it was more than that. It was just heinous. It was sinful. And if he hasn't really examined what he did and actually repented, it makes me very concerned for him just on a Christian level.
Holly Shear is a pastor's wife, a mother of four children in Burns, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Takeaways from the Duggar Family Sex Abuse Tragedy. You can read it. There's a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Holly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, we're going to be joined by Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We do a weekly series with him called This Week in Pop American Christianity, a general subject that is still very popular in pop American Christianity. People have noticed that the average big box church, while it may not be Pentecostal in terms of its denomination, many of them just non-denominational, or Assemblies of God, or even overtly charismatic, is strongly influenced by those movements, in particular a notion of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We'll take that up with Chris Roseborough this week in Pop American Christianity, an hour two of Issues Etc., then Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. book of the month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike, Living Biblically by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Voice for Lutheran Women, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. book of the month for May.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.